With the passing of Kobe Bryant and the helicopter crashes that seem to keep happening more and more, we wanted to reach out to a professional helicopter pilot, and Barbie Morehouse is joining our show now. She flies helicopters and has been doing so with U.S. Customs and Border Protection for the last 11 years, has flown through some of the toughest conditions.
When we're talking to you because of the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and the seven other people that were on the helicopter, one of the questions I have, and we've kind of have this as well, we've heard, when flying in low visibility like that, why don't you just go up? Helicopters stay in a static location. I've seen a helicopter lower a piece of machinery into a factory. I pulled my car over and watched it. So I know you can linger. Why not just either linger until you figure things out or just go up?
That's probably going to be a question that they're going to be asking. They may not ever get an answer to why the pilot who was flying did what he did, but a lot of times, well, flying, just lingering in a helicopter is in weather like that is not a good idea, because hovering is probably the most difficult part. And so if you start to lose your situational awareness, then that's when things go bad, and that could be what happened. I don't know. Forward flight in a helicopter is better than hovering. Hovering is probably the most difficult and dangerous portion of the helicopter flight.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't know that. Yeah.
That's why we're happy that you're joining us. You're the expert, and you're debunking some of our myths that we were thinking. You know, we can just picture it. And picturing that helicopter, was that a bigger helicopter than a regular helicopter, so to speak, Barbie?
It's a pretty good sized helicopter, probably in civilian world, like one of the biggest ones that like has passenger flight.
Okay.
Like a luxury helicopter, kind of like a limo of helicopters, right?
Right.
Okay.
Sikorsky makes a very good product, so.
Yeah.
What stood out to you when reading the transcript with the pilot and air traffic control?
The thing that stood out to me was that he didn't seem, like I actually listened to the audio portion of it, and he didn't seem distressed at all. He didn't seem, he just, like, everything was normal. He sounded like he knew what he was doing. He sounded like he'd flown that route before. I think just the biggest thing was the visibility was just not good.
So my stepdad has a bass boat, and he's got a depth finder on it, where it is a thing where it shows how far through the water until you're at the bottom of the lake.
Okay.
Don't helicopters have something that can kind of like show, like, hey man, you're getting close to the ground? If you don't have any visibility, isn't there an instrument like that?
I can't speak to the helicopter that he's flying. I only know the ones that I've flown, and the one that I fly, the helicopters I fly have what's called a radar or altimeter, and it will tell you how high you are, but it's looking down, not forward. So if he's going, you know, he might have, you know, shown that he was 800 feet, but then all of a sudden the mountain's 1,500 feet, then it's not going to help too much.
Yeah.
So just, you know, it depends on how fast he was going, and, I mean, there's so many things, so many variables in there.
I suppose.
Agent Barbie Morehouse is joining us, a professional helicopter pilot with U.S. Border and Customs Protection. My final question, what can you tell us as regular civilians who are probably freaked out and don't want to do one of those helicopter tours now? Like me, I always wanted to do one, but now after seeing this, I'm afraid.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is the weather, you know? That I think that's going to be the biggest factor in that particular accident. But one thing that I always take comfort in knowing is that aircraft maintenance is very stringent. Like, my aircraft have to be inspected every 100 hours.
Wow,
right.
Okay.
So there's always sets of eyes looking at that aircraft, and then certain parts have to be replaced whether they're worn out or not. So like every 5,000 hours, then parts have to be replaced. Every 2,000 hours, then parts have to be replaced. So it's a lot more stringent than regular vehicles on the road.
Sounds like he did know what he was doing until things go wrong. But, you know, I think we can relate. I'm in a car, and you know things are going, you know what you're doing until things ain't going right. So,
right, there you go. You're just driving down the road, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're spinning out of control on the ice. So.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate your time this morning, Barbie, and painting the picture for us and answering some of our questions. And now we know, instead of assuming.
Awesome. Well, call me anytime.